Welcome to the Balance Love Life and Business Virtual Summit, brought to you today by the Public Speakers Association. I'm so excited to introduce to you one of the most amazing speakers out there, Ms. Carmen Buck. Carmen, won't you take it from here?
Thank you, Tanya. I am Carmen Buck. I am owner of Carmen Buck Photography, and also have a website, carmenbuck.com. I am a portrait, lifestyle, and humanitarian photographer. I capture love, light, and compassion in any situation, even the tough times. I'm also an author and speaker. And, you know, I like to say I show up through story. I love stories. Stories are honest, real, and while being uncomfortable can still bring us a sense of comfort. And I think this is what really intrigues me about stories, is that stories can be uncomfortable, but still bring comfort. And, you know, I really love this. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about where I'm coming from so that you'll understand better when I talk about balance, because I am one, probably one of many also, but I'll talk about myself. You know, I have been completely out of balance at times, and there are still days I look and go, I'm so far out of balance, I can't believe it. And, you know, I go back to my core, and so I'm going to talk about that today. And I'm really excited about it because I actually had a little bit of understanding about this and with the project that I'm working on. So let's talk about that. So I use images and photography to give people a legacy. Basically, it's proof of their love. It's proof of their existence and what they do. And Tanya talked about her pictures. I did a lot of, I think, all of her images that you see out there. And they're with excitement and brilliance, and they really talk about who she is. And, you know, as a business owner, that is part of her legacy. And what a joy for me and an honor. You know, so what you might not know is I left nearly 40 years of a holistic nurse practitioner career. The last 15 years, I specialized in adult neurology and geriatric psychiatry. And I left that career because I was drawn to tell the stories of caregivers, specifically for those with dementia. And it was truly an epiphany for me one day in the clinic. One of my patients came in, and I just felt the strong, incredible pull and thought, you know, someone needs to tell these stories, because they would come in and share what was going on with them. And through the years, I could watch the progress, because dementia is one of those diseases that gets worse. But I would also watch how the families are doing, because it's not just the individual with dementia who is my patient, it's the whole family, right? And I just had this incredible pull to say, I need to tell these stories. Now, at the time, I couldn't tell you details about how I would do that or even why, the big why, but I knew it was going to happen. And it really needed to happen. It was in my heart. I just had to do it. So nearly 2 years later, you know, it's becoming more clear to me why this just had to be done. And it really comes down to balance and spirituality. So I have finished interviews with 13 families. We visited, I had follow-up visits, and I took their pictures and created beautiful portraits for them. And during this time, a year and about 14 months or so, a few of the participants lost their loved ones to dementia. You know, and those portraits that we took, maybe at the time, they're like, well, I don't know, if you want to, we can, if it has to be. But then once their loved one passed, all they could tell me was just how priceless those portraits became to them, because they had something tangible to hold on to. And that, to be a part of that, is a really beautiful thing. Now, when we talk about balance, and I say balance with a capital B, you know, there is an inherent expectation of having it all. We want balance in order to do everything. And the truth is, there are only 24 hours in every day for each of us. No one's special, nobody gets more, nobody gets less, it's all 24 hours. Yet many of us try, and I'll talk about myself, we try to jam two lifetimes of work and tasks into that little space. And it's not even a little space, but we try to put so much, it seems little, right? And I don't think I'm the only one. You know, why? Because if that's the question, why? Why do we do it? If you keep asking the question why over and over and over again, you might get to the answer. You know, and I did this myself because I found myself trying to build a business, start a new career, something I'd never done before, and saying, what is the why behind this for me? Because I felt a little out of control and like I didn't know exactly what to do. Because, you know, I had a job and a career for almost 40 years. And now suddenly I'm in my office by myself thinking, what? Although I knew in my heart what I wanted to do. I was a little bit lost. So I asked why over and over again, truly, until it became painful. And I realized that the very part of my personality that makes me who I am, but also what people are drawn to, can also break me down. Because I personally love to be inspired. I love learning. I like to do new things and challenge myself. I'm one of those strange people. I like change. I like change. I like that uncomfortable feeling because I know it's a chance for growth. But it's that very part of my personality, that part that makes me karma and that makes me who I am, that also makes me a very tired, overworked Carmen with aching muscles, dark circles around my eyes, and with little time for the other things that I love. You know, perhaps there's a part of your own personality or a situation which has taken up too much space in that 24-hour day. So I kind of like to think of it like this. If your day or your life, however you like to break it down, is a big pie, you first need to decide what's going to be in that pie, right? What do you want to do? And, you know, I'm going to give you some key ingredients that need to be in that pie. Because the real key ingredient goes right in the middle of the pie. So imagine a big circle, and in the middle, this is you. That's in the middle. That's the key ingredient. Because without you, that pie is not complete. In fact, without you, it would fall apart. So we have to take care of ourselves first. And it's not in a selfish, it's not a selfish thing, it's survival, and it's important. And so I'm going to break that down because you know what? Nobody enjoys life lived on autopilot. And when we forget to put ourselves in the ingredients in that pie that makes up our day or our life, we're running on autopilot. We're doing things without really feeling or sensing or experiencing. We're just doing them. So I think most people kind of know what I mean. Most people have had that experience. And so, you know, when you get through your day and you can't even remember what you had for breakfast or lunch, can't remember what you did, you are on autopilot. And so, you know, when I really got to thinking about this, I have an upcoming book, probably January, February of next year. It's called Love Still Lives Here. And I have an announcement about the title coming up. Love Still Lives Here, Sacred Stories from the Other Side of Dementia. And so those 13 families opened their hearts and their homes to me and shared what it was like for them to care for someone with dementia. And so with dementia, you know, slowly people lose their memories and abilities. And sometimes it's quicker for some than for others. And, you know, I even have a friend who gives two dates when people ask her when her mother died. The first date she gives is the date the first time her mother didn't recognize her anymore, and the second was when she died. So to say that this is a painful process for people is a total understatement. So, you know, many of us are caregivers. This is one type of caregiver, right? So with regard to my book, the first thought was, I thought, well, the why behind this is other caregivers could learn from their experiences. You know, so the value is to provide a guide for other caregivers. But after a handful of interviews, it became really clear how this book was really about a spiritual crisis, meaning our basic spiritual needs are not being met, and then how this happens when we become caregivers. So, and even as I thought about it some more, it became crystal clear that we are all caregivers of one sort or another. You know, those impacted by dementia, of course, they have their own unique path, no doubt about that. But many of us are caregivers to our children, our spouses, and even to our businesses and careers. You know, I have my own business. it needs nearly 18 hours of nurturing from me a day, right? I'm not kidding. Between photography, editing, marketing, publicity, writing, it goes on and on. And when I block it out to see how much time I really need, it's about 18 hours, which means there isn't time to take care of myself. And it means I needed to kind of revamp, what am I looking at? But I'm a caregiver to that business, because that business is my dream. It represents me. It speaks my language, but I am a caregiver. So we are caregivers in a variety of ways. Do I live a life in balance? No, not really. Not by my definition, the way I'd like to see it. You know, I work on it constantly, and this helps. And I'm coming closer and closer, and there are more days now that I am in balance that I'm not. I'm happy to report. You know, but if I look at my 24 hours and decide for a time period to devote the vast majority to my business, you know, on those days, then yes, I am in balance, because that's how I defined balance that day. So let's say for that day, I said, okay, I'm going to spend 12 hours working on my book, and that's what I'm going to do today. And then there's this time, a little here, a little for that. For me, that's in balance that day, but that's not how I want to live my whole life, right? So, most of us agree that a 12 or 18 hour workday really leaves no time for what else might be important. What I found in the interviews for my book was that caregivers seek balance and often leave out that really important key point, because the key point being take care of yourself, the middle of the pie. If you don't take care of yourself, you can't show up for anyone else. Now, I'm going to repeat those because it's important. If you don't take care of yourself and you can't show up 100%, you can't show up for anyone else or for your business or for your career. You know, so this is where the basic spiritual needs come into practice. So this happened to be the topic of my master's thesis in nursing. And so I love it, love it. And I'm excited to share this with y'all. So we all have some basic physical needs: air, water, food. You know, we need exercise too, right? And if we don't do exercise, our body isn't as healthy. You know, but many of us take the gamble. It catches up with us. We still gain weight, our muscles are stiff, you know, and so on. And ultimately, it impacts our life, but maybe not immediately as if we didn't have air or water or food. You know, we also have basic spiritual needs, and they're as important as our physical needs. And because without them, you know, maybe we won't die all of a sudden, or our life doesn't end like, or don't end right then, but it's certainly going to deteriorate over time, sometimes quicker than others. And so often our basic spiritual needs get left out completely, especially in our culture. You know, we value hard work and success. So when our basic needs are not met, we get weak and a part of us dies. You know, we stop living a full life. You know, we don't live the life we're meant to. So let's talk about some of our basic spiritual needs. Humor. In my book, The Love Still Lives Here, Dot is one of the ladies in the book who suffers with dementia. And I got together with her and her three daughters. And humor was huge for them. So not only did they want to tell me how funny their mother was, but they use humor growing up in the difficult times, and they continue to find humor and to find comfort in that humor with her. So they not only laugh with her, they laugh about her and they laugh about each other. And it is just this connection between all of them that humor brings. Another basic, you might want to write these down, but one of the first human, the basic spiritual needs, humor. The second one, creativity. We all have a need to be creative. In some ways, we need to see outside the box. Some of us cook, which can be creative, depending on how you do it. Some scrapbook. You know, when I'm stressed, I take a walk with my camera and I see nature through my lens. It's very calming for me. Juanita Dixie is one daughter. Her mother is Juanita. She has dementia. And she told the story how they had to get creative to take care of her mother. Because even though she had retired years before, she, when she developed dementia, she believed she needed to go to work every day. So they got very creative on how they took care of that need for her, so she wasn't anxious about going to work and she felt like she was going to work. You know, so that was a lesson taught in my book. And in fact, out of the 13 stories, I mean, I use some of the examples here because each family had a different spiritual need addressed, which didn't become evident to me until I started to put them together and look at them. Each one experienced a spiritual crisis and had a spiritual need that wasn't met that they worked on to help them be successful as a caregiver and to find some peace in their life, right? So we've got humor, creativity, and another spiritual need, or the third one I've talked about, is time in nature. You want to feel the breeze, see the trees, the sky, feel the sun, smell some flowers, touch the grass, feel it between your toes. All those things are so relaxing, and you know, you can just let your senses guide you through that experience. That's a basic need that some of us really don't enjoy that much. There's one thing going outside, and there's another experiencing your outside time. And I'm talking about experiencing it. Another basic need is some meditation. So, you know, there's various ways to meditate, and some people hear that word and they're just going to turn it off because it can be kind of hard. But there are ways, actually, that you can become meditative. You know, walking can be meditative. Playing music and really getting into that can be meditative, whether you're listening or actually playing an instrument. Doing repetitive acts, like doing dishes, can also be very meditative. And one of the things that I used to tell families with those with dementia is to give them something repetitive to do that they can do. They not only feel useful and that they have a purpose, but it's very calming and it's good for the mood issues and anxiety and things. And I would say just get a clothes hamper and fill it with washcloths and give it to them to fold, because the basic folding of the washcloths, they were most able to do, and it worked wonders. And so it was a very happy time for people. And, you know, basically meditation is silencing the chatter, that inner critic that we have and all the thoughts that go around. And, you know, it's being quiet enough to get guidance. You know, I say it's, you know, you hear the voice of God, you feel the guidance, whatever that might be for you. But you can't get there without being quiet. And truly, my best ideas or plans or direction came when I was most quiet and when I least expected. Some people find this too when they shower, just the idea of the water coming down and kind of being washed by the warm water. They feel like their thoughts are maybe clearer, or kind of they're almost like thought-free for a little while, and that's when these inspirations, and they are inspirations, that's the voice of God, inspirations come to them. Another spiritual need is, you know, the prayer and a belief in a higher power. So, you know, beyond religiosity, you know, this is about seeing life and our place in it, and it's about seeing something as much bigger than ourselves, and yet seeing ourselves within that. In my book, Mary uses prayer to find peace, and she, this woman's amazing. She takes care of her two sons. Each of her sons are in their 40s, and they have end-stage Alzheimer's disease. And her husband, it's a genetic form. Her husband had it and passed. She buried her daughter from dementia, and now she's taking care of her two sons. You know, her story's in Love Still Lives Here and is incredibly moving, and you know, she's truly an inspiration for me, and I think for many other people. Another basic need, spiritual need, is connection with others. You know, we need to authentically be able to share and feel that sense of togetherness or even oneness with others. You know, and Tanya had mentioned, we were at the Public Speakers Association conference. We were all there together, and there was truly a sense of connection between all of us. And it was a great feeling. It was a place to be safe and to share information and to applaud others that who were there. And what a great feeling that was. So it's super important. you know, in my stories, Jude's story is about his life as a priest, and he left the priesthood for a love of a completely different kind and a different life. And his wife, Beth, tells their story in his story, and he's in a memory care facility. And many times I had been there taking photos for the facility and for others, and I would see him, and he would walk over to another resident who might be distraught about something, who was crying or upset, and he would just quietly go and put his hand on their shoulder and to be there. And he was connecting with them in a very peaceful, beautiful way. And just a connection, again, is one of our basic important spiritual needs, as is the need to give and receive love. You know, every one of my stories are sacred. They're about love, fear, and the battles which ensued, you know, and so is that not our lives, right? You know, and if you have trouble giving and receiving love to another, take a look at how dogs interact with their owners. You know, there are great examples of unconditional love, and you might even hear mine snoring because I have four circled around me right now. Another spiritual need, you know, ultimately we seek meaning and purpose in our life. While that may seem lofty, it doesn't have to be. You know, our caregiving, whether it be to our child who's ill, our spouse who might have depression or other problems, our parents who are aging, our business, you know, it's really our voice in the world, which, you know, this is how we find meaning and purpose. The people who have jobs or businesses which aren't in alignment, you know, they struggle with this. You know, only 1 in 3 Americans say they're very happy. People want to know their lives are important and meaningful, you know, but aren't sure how to get there. Their lives aren't in balance, you know, and I help this with people with their stories and with photography. So a few quick tips, you know, you want to just maybe begin with 3 minutes a day for your basic spiritual needs. You know, so here are a few things to write down. Laugh out loud. I mean, in real life, not the emoji. Get out there and laugh out loud. It's like taking a happy pill. It's very good for your body, too. Do something creative that brings you joy. Doodle, daydream, whatever it might be. Go outside. Go take in nature. I love to take a camera. Go however you like to. Get outside and experience it. Do something meditative, you know, repetitive act. Get in there, do the dishes, feel the water, the soap, repetition of that. You know, I'm only asking for 3 minutes. It doesn't have to take a long time. But get into the repetition and see if it doesn't impact you. Pray to whoever you pray to. Just pray. I begin my day with a little prayer before I even get out of bed. In my world, before I do photography shoot, and certainly as a nurse, I always prayed before I went in to see a patient or now before I do a shoot. Connect with someone else. Even, you know, call a friend you haven't talked to in a while. Go to someone who's part of your tribe, your posse, your people. Connect. Don't let that go. It's really important. Don't give up a chance to give and receive love. And, you know, and think about what makes your life most meaningful. You know, how are you going to show up to be that important middle piece of your pie, so that you can show up 100% with joy, with meaning and purpose, so that you actually have something to give to the other things that you would like to do in your life. You know, so again, just to wrap up, I am Carmen Buck with Carmen Buck Photography. That's C-A-R-M-E-N. My last name is Buck, B-U-C-K, photography. Portrait, lifestyle, and humanitarian photographer. If you would like to be the first to know where I'll be speaking, how to get in front of my camera, or, you know, when my book will be out, and launch parties, and, you know, sign up for my newsletter. The link is on every page of my website, CarmenBuckPhotography.com. You'll be the first to know about a new and exciting piece to my business, which is going to be launched soon. You'll also be the first and the only ones to receive some specials, some insider tips, and information. Again, it's CarmenBuckPhotography.com. I think I'm going to wrap it up. That was a whole bunch of information. I hope you took some notes. We have some basic spiritual needs. 3 minutes a day can make a huge difference, and you can grow from there. But I think everybody's busy day should allow for 3 minutes. If not, there's some serious problems, right? And you must give the 3 minutes even more reason to. I thank you so much for listening.